pain of Friday settles here, its presence heavy, its burden weary, we sit teary, the silence dreary. Our Savior died on that cross 3 days ago. And now what? Where are you, Lord? You have left us alone. A world of disease. We sneeze and wheeze and cannot keep the sickness at ease. We cry for the vulnerable taken, for the anxious shaken. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Where are you, Lord? You have left us alone. A city underwater, animals slaughtered, displaced sons and daughters, we wait. We are drowning, submerged in grief, trying desperately to keep our heads above water. My God, why have you forsaken us? Where are you, Lord? You have left us alone. A community divided, a war fought one-sided, your people misguided. We grieve for the children lost, for the sheep scattered, for a disorganized people who don't know where to go next. Where are you, Lord? You have left us alone. It is finished.
Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. In the garden she walks to grieve her Savior, the one that was ripped away. A gardener comes. Where have you taken him? Where is he? She asks. What now? The grief pushes her down to her knees. Where are you, Lord? You have left us alone. And suddenly a voice, Mary. How can it be? What is this? Your resurrected Father stands before you now. Our Savior was alive. His arresters thought they had won. They thought the story was finished, but the story was still being written. Our God arose. He did the unthinkable. Our Messiah broke free from the chains of death and rose again. He has risen. Today he lives. He sacrifices for you, for your sins, not because you deserve it, but because he loves you. Our Lamb, our Father, free from guilt, has washed our sins white as snow. He reigns. Neither death nor disease, neither floods or war could ever stop our God. Our God beats death. The pain of tomorrow has been replaced with joy that our Father has defeated the grave. Christ is risen.
everybody. Welcome to this place. Yeah, happy Easter. In fact, you know, in the Christian tradition, what you would often do on Easter Sunday morning is one person would say, "He is risen," to which the other person would say, "He is risen indeed." So why don't we shake hands with each other this morning and exchange that greeting. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Go ahead. All right, have a seat, everyone. We want to thank our video folks, folks online with us. We want to give them a special Easter kind of greeting as well. So I'm going to say to you, and wherever you're at in your house, in your living room, you say, "He is risen indeed." He is risen. He is risen indeed. Welcome, welcome. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Bruce, and I'll be leading you through parts of the service along with Nathan and Janessa and the band, and we're so thrilled that you're here, especially if you're a guest or a visitor. Maybe this is your first time that you're here. We're so glad that you've chosen to come to church with us, to be here with us on Easter. We want to make this just a great experience for you. So at the end of the service, we actually have cookies, okay? So if the whole service doesn't work, you get cookies at the end. So that's a good deal. Now, my favorite Easter story that I love to tell, it's of this woman who goes out into her backyard, and to her horror, she sees her dog with the neighbor's rabbit in its mouth, shaking it around. The rabbit is toast. It's dead. And she thinks, "Oh no, this is going to ruin my relationship with my neighbor." So she gets kind of stealthy. So what she does is she takes the rabbit inside. She washes it carefully, right? She blow dries it, gets the blood off. And then she puts it, you know, sneakily back in the rabbit cage. Well, about 2 hours later, she hears just the shrieking in the back. And she runs out, and it's her neighbor lady. And she says, "What's the matter? Is there something wrong with the rabbit?" She says, "You're not going to believe this. That rabbit died 3 days ago. We buried it in the garden, and it's back." Now, we're celebrating today not just a story, but a real story. A story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're thrilled about that. And I pray that this will be just a service of celebration for you. Just a few announcements that we want to make you aware of. New Life Connects, that's a kind of an event that we run every once in a while here at New Life, and it's designed to help you get prepared for baptism or get prepared for confession of faith or maybe just to find out a little bit more about what New Life is all about. So Pastor Nathan leads that. It's happening on April 28th, and do you have a time on that, Nathan? What time does it start? 7 o'clock. So 7 o'clock right here. I mentioned the Easter treats after the service as well. We want to ask you now to save the date of April 30th. Okay, that's coming up right away here. And right here in this place, we're going to be hosting a comedy night. It's featuring local comedian Leland Klassen. I'm guessing some of you probably know him. This is a fundraising event that's designed to help a family that we are sponsoring, the Colombo family. They're refugees from the Congo. And over the course of this coming year, we need to raise about $30,000 in order to bring them from where they're at right now to here. So that's a pretty major undertaking, and we'll be doing some fundraising through the course of the year. But we want to get it kicked off in the right way. So this Saturday night, come on out, and there's no ticket cost, but bring your checkbook, okay? And we're going to raise some money as well, all right? A great night of laughs, and, you know, to support this wonderful work of mercy. Now, today's offering is going to be for the Benevolent Fund, which is a fund that our deacons run that helps out people in our congregation and sometimes in the neighborhood that need a helping hand. And so we know that there's you all guys give in different ways. Some of you give electronically. Some of you give here on Sunday morning. So on the screen behind me is different ways that you can give. So please pay attention to that and give generously so that this ministry can go forward and the work of New Life can go forward as well. Let's just take a moment to pray for our offering and to pray for this service. Father, we come to you this morning. We're so thankful that today is Easter. This day, Jesus, that you rose from the dead and conquered death. We celebrate that. And Lord, one of the ways in which we want to celebrate it is through our offerings. And we pray that you'll give us generous hearts and that the monies that we give this morning will be blessed and be a blessing in someone's life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to soon dismiss the kids, and this morning, grades 1 to 5 will be joining us for the service. I believe there's some opportunities for them to participate in different ways. We've got a puppet play coming up. I know there's like some coloring sheets usually over there, so they probably can pick some of those up. For Little Lights, that's children age 3 to 5, they're going to exit on the door to my left over here, and there'll be some folks there to greet them and meet them. If you're new and you don't know what to do, and maybe you didn't get a chance to sign up your child, please just go out that door as well, and those attendants will help you and guide you through the process of making sure we get your kids registered and that everybody's safe and secure. So we are going to enter a fellowship time right now. So this is a 3-minute fellowship time that we do in the midst of each of these services that we run, just to give you a chance again to kind of greet each other. And, you know, if you need to fill up your coffee, you can do that. So let's enter into that time right now, 3 minutes. And during that 3-minute time, kids, I'm going to invite you at the end of it to come up here, and we're gonna have a little puppet play here for you this morning. So let's do that fellowship time right now.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace.
great? Sure, parents, if you have any shy kids and you want to come up and get a front row seat, please, please do that. No worries. All right. So, of course, we're in for a treat this morning because our puppet friends are here. You know some of them from our Sunday school on Sunday mornings. I'm there sometimes, I know, and I get to see all your shining faces. What day is it today? Easter Sunday. Oh, you didn't sound very enthusiastic to me. What Sunday is it?
Easter Sunday.
Okay, okay. So we're going to turn the lights down and the lights up on the puppet play, so pay your attention right up here.
Come on, grow. Grow.
Gilbert, what are you doing?
I'm watching my bean plant grow. It's for a school project.
Oh. Gilbert?
Yeah?
Nothing seems to be happening.
I know. It's very depressing.
Well, how long do we have to wait before it grows?
I don't know. I planted it this morning. I even dug it up like 3 times to see if it was wrong. But so far, nothing. Nada. Zilch. Zoop. Doo-doo-doo-doo. The big fat nothing.
Well, what have you done to make it grow?
Everything I could think of. I watered it. I fertilized it. I even put it here in the light. I even yelled at it. Still, nothing.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have yelled at it. Maybe it's scared.
You think so?
I don't know. Maybe you should try being nice to it.
Okay.
Hey there, you cute little plant. This is Gilbert talking. You're the cutest plant I've ever seen. If you grow, I'll be very, very happy with you. I'll take you up for walks.
Did you say walk?
Not you twice.
I distinctly heard the word walk. That usually involves me.
No, I was talking to the plant.
What plant?
The plant that hasn't grown yet.
Let me get this straight. You're going to take an empty flower pot for a walk?
No, the plant.
Gilbert, you're beginning to worry me.
This is depressing.
Hey, what are you all doing?
Gilbert is going to take an empty flower pot for a walk.
What?
No, I'm growing a bean plant because it's for school.
I see. How long have you been waiting?
Since this morning. I even dug it up like a few times to see if anything was wrong.
Oh, Gilbert, it's going to take a lot longer than that.
It is?
Gilbert, when you plant a seed in the ground, it takes quite a while for the seed to grow. In fact, that it grows at all is a type of miracle.
A miracle?
Yes, Gilbert. The seed dies, but as a result of that death, a new plant begins to grow. It sends down roots, and before long, it pushes up through the ground and begins to bloom.
That's amazing.
It sure is, Gilbert. God made this world in a beautiful way. In fact, your little science project reminds me of what Easter is all about.
Chocolate bunnies?
No, Twice. Easter eggs and chocolate bunnies are part of the fun, but not the real reason for Easter. Easter is the day we celebrate what Jesus did. Like your little seed, he died and was planted in the ground. People thought he was dead for good and buried him in a tomb. But miracle of miracles, he rose to life again. Out of death came new life, and that has changed everything.
Wow! Wow! Wow!
Anyway, why don't you leave your plant alone for a while and go play outside? Maybe you can take Twice for a walk.
Walk? Did I hear the word walk? All right, let's go.
Come on, Gilbert.
I'll be right there. Mom?
Yes, Gilbert?
I'm so glad Jesus is alive.
So am I, Gilbert. So am I.
Hey, give it up for our puppet team this morning. Thanks, guys. What a great story. And now you guys can return to your seats and to your parents. That would be great. Make sure you return to the right parent. And we'll have the worship team come up now and lead us through a time of worship. I got that wrong. Preaching first, so my bad.
Yeah, that's what happens when you mess with the usual order, hey? Happy Easter, everyone. Happy Easter. Wow, yes, Christ is risen. Wow, you learn fast. It's good. What a day, man. And indeed, sometimes we don't quite get what Easter is all about, right? Just like Gilbert, right? There's things that happen in our lives that we're like, so is Easter real? Does it really impact our lives? I mean, you look at situations in our world and you think, I wonder what difference Easter really has made, right? Think about people in Ukraine. I'm sure it's hard to celebrate Easter in that context. We have a little story of our own within our congregation here. At the beginning of the week, when we gathered for prayer here on Monday night, we prayed desperately for Bernie Heising, a member of our congregation. And at that time, we were told it's hour by hour. He came down with a diagnosis of meningitis, infection in his brain, and it was very serious. And today, he remains in ICU, but without the support of a breathing machine and without sedation, he even asked for his iPad so that he can watch this service. And so today, we are deeply thankful that God has spared Bernie. And yeah. So I suppose, Bernie, you're watching online, and we've been praying for you, and we thank God with you that you're alive. And so speedy recovery to Bernie. So let's pray together. Almighty God, we want to celebrate today. Celebrate because of the thanks that we have with deep within our hearts for the way that you move into our lives and bring a sense of renewal and where you, in a very real way, redeem all that was destined for death. And you bring it to life. God, sometimes we want it more immediate than the way that it turns out. And so we cry out to you, God, for those desperate times and those desperate situations in our world. God, we pray for your mercy and for your grace. We give you thanks for the healing that Bernie has received. And God, with great relief, we are so thankful. And so we pray that we may continue to look to you. And even as we listen to the words of Scripture, we pray that they may speak to us powerfully so that we can go from this place to live our lives following your lead out of the tomb into resurrection life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so that's the question that needs to be presented to any one of us today as we enter into this Easter Sunday, this Easter celebration, is what does Easter mean to you? How do you react to this great Easter story? Will you just go on your merry way after this service is done? Or will you clap in amazement as if cheering simply for some great performance that a man did 2,000 years ago? Or perhaps you'll even freeze, simply insisting that this kind of thing just, it doesn't happen. Come on, be real. So throughout this Easter season here at New Life, we've been following Jesus' lead. We want to walk where he walked. We want to go where he went. We want to do the things, the kinds of things that he has done. And the Gospel of Mark tells us the Easter story, this great resurrection story. But in the Gospel of Mark, it's suggested how that's going to go when we follow Jesus' lead out of the tomb. Here it is. This is the word of the Lord from Mark chapter 16, very end of Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, this morning, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So here's how that could have been summarized. The women, with their heads bowed low, they're walking towards the tomb. And then in this gospel, four facts are released. He is risen. Jesus is risen. He isn't here. The tomb is empty. And he's gone back home. Those are the four facts. And then there's two commandments given. Don't be alarmed, or don't be amazed, even the word might be. Don't be alarmed. Go tell others. And then there's one promise. You will see him just as he said. But then the story finishes this way. Verse 8. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone, because they were afraid. That doesn't seem like a very good way to end such a magnificent story, does it? Unless it's not just a story. Unless it really did happen. An event about one very decisive moment in history. an event that Mark presents to you and to me to say, now you must do something with this. You have to finish it off. You have to finish off this story. How will you respond? There's almost an automatic invitation to say, how do you react to this story? And it begins with one large stone. See, the women had initially come to pay their respects. Their dear friend dies. In the midst of tremendous sense of expectation and hope that this would be the Messiah. But they go to the tomb simply to pay their respects, to honor a great man, a wonderful friend. They came out of respect. And maybe, just maybe, in the same way you find yourself here today. You had great hopes, but you look around in your life or in the world and you think, yeah, there isn't much hope, but we'll pay our respects. And then the lingering question is, as you approach the tomb of the disappointments in your life or the despair, the lingering question is, who's going to roll the stone away? The women came to honor a man who had died, who was buried, and whose grave was sealed with a huge, immovable stone. And inasmuch as you come today to pay your respects, perhaps that's the question on your mind. Yeah, but who's going to fix this? Who's going to settle this? Who's going to set things right? Who will roll away the stone of sorrow from the dark tomb of despair that we feel in our world? Who's going to roll away the stone of bitterness from the dark tomb of our losses or our failures or our addictions? Who's going to roll away the stone of cynicism from the dark tomb of our jaded vision of the way the world is going? Who's going to roll away the stone of indifference from the dark tomb of this world's suffering? Who's going to roll away the stone of grief from the dark tomb of our broken hearts and broken relationships? The fact is, we're still part of a Good Friday world. That's why we opened the way we did at the beginning of the service. A world of terrorists and war, a world of poverty and misery, a world of shame and broken spirits, a world of disease and death, a world of hurt and cynicism. How can we open the large, dark tombs of our lives that hold all of that sorrow, all of that misery, all of that despair? Who will roll the stone away? Faced with that question, and more than coming here simply to pay our respects to a great teacher and wise leader, we gather today to celebrate. To celebrate that the stone has already been rolled away. It has been rolled away by the power of God. It has been rolled away by the grace of a merciful Father in heaven. It has been rolled away by one, the only one, who can save. And that changes everything. The change, of course, is Jesus' resurrection. One day in history, one person rises from the dead, and it changes everything. See, the reason the women fled from the tomb was because this event was indeed frightening. And Mark is being very real here. This is an event that actually happened. It's not just kind of a story made up to say, oh, now we feel better. It's not like this kind of thing happens every day, resurrection of a person. Mark is sympathizing with us on how hard it is to believe that this resurrection of one person in one day of history actually makes a difference. Maybe you find it hard to believe this stuff. Or maybe even if you believe it, you say, yeah, but does it really make any difference? It wasn't like people back then were more gullible to think that a resurrection was believable or changed anything. Jews believed in resurrection in that time, but always a resurrection of the whole earth all at once. And always at the end of time, not in the middle of history. Mark's account wrestles with the unbelievable nature of one day, one person arose from the dead. Never before had a would-be Messiah resurrected. But Jesus had. And that's perplexing. That's amazing, but alarming, as the women responded. And so Mark gives us permission to doubt, to wonder, to wrestle, exactly because it is so unbelievable. And being so unbelievable and yet actually happening, that means that this one resurrection of one man, one day, was momentous. It meant something. In a world filled with destruction, with desolation, with death, Jesus' resurrection means that there is hope in our world. There is something to look forward to, but that hope maybe begins rather tentatively. Verse 8 suggests that the women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. You see, it doesn't have to be all fluff and cheer to face the resurrection. The gospel admits that a resurrection is pretty jarring. But Mark's gospel also suggests that one decisive moment in history makes for a decisive moment in your life. The way Mark abruptly ends the story just begs you to finish it with your own story. How are you going to live your life? We know how frightening it can be to hope. We know that. Coming out of 2 years of pandemic, we hope the threat is past. We hope that it's over. We hope that we can have a free and carefree summer. That's what we're looking forward to. But what if? What if there's another wave? What if there's a new strain? What if there's another disaster? What if? But with this one decisive moment of Jesus' resurrection, Jesus has returned home. And there you and I can see him. See, Easter is a grand moment. No doubt about it. It's a big deal. One decisive moment in history. But Jesus, he has gone on ahead, and he has ascended into heaven, and there he rules over the earth, over the whole world, over every human event, over every earthly occurrence, over every power and principality. And you will see him. You will see him ruling over this world. You'll see him ruling over your life. That's the promise that he gives to you and me. And so you and I are invited to live in that kind of expectation, that we will see Jesus, that we will see him in our daily lives, at work in this world, ruling over the world. Follow his lead as you live your life in this world. Yes, it's easy to see the darkness, it's easy to see the despair. but follow the light. Because Christ is risen. Live your life in eager expectation of seeing Jesus everywhere you turn. Thanks be to God. Christ has risen from the grave. There is the promise of lasting joy beyond despair. That's where the promise is of life-giving love beyond the fearful hatred of terror. There is the promise of new life beyond the grave. The tomb is empty because Jesus is out in the world. And now we can follow his lead and live for him. Let's rejoice. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to invite you to stand and worship. The children can come down, wave their flags, and we're going to give God praise and thanks from the very bottom of our hearts. Let's pray together. Almighty God, stir our hearts with an eagerness and an expectation to see you. We want to see you, Jesus, in the middle of our lives. In the middle of our brokenness, in the middle of our misery, in the middle of the trouble of our lives, God, we want to see you. Because you are our hope. You've redeemed it all. You've renewed this earth. You've recreated this world, and your kingdom will come. Almighty God, we give you praise. We give you thanks. Stir our hearts, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Receive our praise and thanksgiving for the amazing thing you have done. Father, we praise you for raising your Son, and in doing so, giving us victory over death, giving us new life. May we celebrate that not just on this day, but every day going forward. Help us, oh God, to follow the lead of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Please stand.
Thank you.
we haven't done anything yet. We've got another song yet. But go from this place with great blessing. Go with great joy for the amazing things that God has done. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace. Amen. Let's continue to rejoice. We've got one last song, and get your groove on.
Sing out to Christ, the one and only, so powerful and holy.